Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
We are going to read from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, from verse 1 to 12. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, the first 12 verses. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This week, the theme of our revival is supernatural power. Supernatural power. And by the grace of God, through his word and in prayer, we are going to engage the supernatural power of God to experience miracles in every area of our lives. Amen. But I'd like to let you know that when we talk about supernatural power, we can view it from positive angle and from negative side. Because when you look at Christianity generally today, some people have replaced God's intervention, which we call miracle, they have replaced it with magic. So magic is being practiced in the name of miracle. And so many people, supposedly who should be Christians, are running after magic, as though God himself cannot do those things. There was a video that was going viral, and I saw it. Somebody sent it to one of our WhatsApp group of a woman who went to a prayer mountain. You know, there are so many mountains now everywhere. As if it's only at the mountain that God can heal the sick person or give children to those who are trusting God for children, or do miracles. And this particular woman was at the mountain. I don't know what took her there or what she's looking for. But the prophet had to be having sexual intercourse with her so that she can receive miracle. And you know, in various matters, there are certain things that are happening. Many self-styled prophets, they will tell a married woman that the demon is inside your private part, and have to bring it out. All kind of things that are happening. You know, so I like to let you know that when we talk about engaging supernatural power, Christians need to understand that the ultimate power that can work miracle belongs to our God. The ultimate power with God, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. How many things? All things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I make this statement with every sense of conviction that before this program has been packaged with this theme, supernatural power, God himself is already prepared to meet everyone at the point of need. Whatever may be your expectation, this is our own mountain. The Lord will meet us here. If one has been sick and you have been told it's a terminal disease, the Lord will terminate it. I have seen it again and again. God has the capacity. He has the power to do whatever seems to be impossible. If somebody has been pronounced a barren person that will not have children again, God's supernatural power will reverse it and barrenness will be terminated. He did it in scripture, he will do it again. So whatever power that have been confronting and challenging your destiny as if you do not have any way out. As I look at this theme, we are positioning ourselves before God this week as never before to engage the power of God to experience miracles in every aspect of our lives. But this morning we want to lay foundation for every other thing that the Lord is going to do. And I am speaking on the topic, God's supernatural power brings salvation. God's supernatural power brings salvation. And very specifically, I am addressing three categories of persons this morning as we draw inspiration from the passage that we read, John chapter 8, verse 1 to 12, we are going to look at how the Lord, by his supernatural power, brings salvation to an individual who has been considered to be condemned, as if there is no way out anymore, as if the one is already doomed for total condemnation. But the Lord, by his supernatural power, turn it around to become salvation. The first category of people that I want to address this morning are people that have experienced salvation. They have encountered Jesus. They know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They enjoy personal relationship with God. As we look at God's supernatural power that brings salvation, we want these individuals to reflect on the salvation experience that they have in Christ. I always say that people who were born into a Christian family, they don't know how heavy, how serious, how tough it is to be saved. That I did not have that kind of opportunity. I said to my children, the opportunity you have, I didn't have it. I was born into idol worship on both sides. My father's side, my mother's side. My maternal grandfather was a warrior. Those of you who know the place called Ovu in Delta State. The warriors are killers. If enemies come to invade the territory, these are people that will go and meet the enemies in the bush. And when they come back, they boast of how many heads of people that they will cut off their head and bring the heads. So it's that kind of background. So when we encounter Jesus, we have to pray, conduct deliverance upon ourselves to be detached from all of those kind of powers that our fathers got connected with. So, people like us, we cherish the love of God that brought us to salvation. And that's the kind of thing I want to draw the attention of those of you who have experienced salvation. That you will reflect on the love of God that brought you to salvation. And then that you will also place a demand. If you have been saved, you are to place a demand to experience the dividends of salvation. You know, in those days, there was a man in our village who said he make people to be rich. So that people go to him, they said he will do something for you and you become rich. But when you look at his life, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, you don't need to be told that he was a poor man. Poverty written all over him. So I am full of doubt. How can this one make somebody rich? Who himself, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, poverty is written all over. I try to bring that idea to those of us who are in God, who are in Christ Jesus. That when we are saved, we should resemble God. So, those of you who have experienced salvation, as we deal on supernatural power, you are going to engage the power of God to experience the dividend of salvation. That's what should happen to you. And the Lord will deliver dividends of salvation to you in the mighty name of Jesus. But the second category of people that I like to address today are people who have experienced salvation. They have encountered Jesus. But because of the kind of life they have lived in the past, because of the kind of errors that they have committed, because of certain heavy sin that they have committed, they live with those sense of guilt. They have not forgiven themselves. They still live. Any little thing that is happening around them, they believe that their sins are haunting them. They don't have peace, even though they have encountered the Lord. And for these individuals, I am trusting God that the supernatural power of God is going to take away every guilt from your life. And you will have the peace of God that comes with salvation. The peace of God in every ramification. Because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new person. That's what the scripture says. If any man be in Christ, it doesn't matter where you are coming from to be in Christ. It doesn't matter what you have gone through, your experiences in life before you come to Christ. Now that you have stepped into Christ, irrespective of the journey where you have journeyed from, you have become a brand new person. The old things are passed away. The old things are taken out. And newness of life has been bestowed. So for those category of people, I bring this message of assurance that the supernatural power of God is taking away every guilt and is granting you total peace. But there is a third category of people that I like to address today, and that is people who consider themselves totally unworthy to experience salvation. There are people, the kind of life they live, the kind of things they have put their hands into, the kind of societies that they have joined, they just look at themselves and say, for us, forget it. You can go and preach to others. Or we can tell our children to go to church. But for us, it is too late.
And sometimes you can even find such people in church. They sing the songs that other people sing. They give offering. They do the things that others are doing in church. But in their heart, in their spirit, they do not belong to Christ. They are not saved. They do not have assurance of salvation. They believe that it cannot be their portion to be saved. And for those categories, by the power of God, they are going to be brought to salvation. They are going to be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord. As we look at the Gospel of St. John chapter 8, verse 1 to 12, there are three issues that I like to address. The first one is that God's supernatural power brings salvation to us against all conspiracies. Against all conspiracies, against all oppositions. No matter how many oppositions, no matter what forces that stand against our being saved, God Himself, we demonstrate His power. God Himself, we demonstrate His authority to bring us to salvation. That is one of the things that I saw very clearly in this passage. Look at John chapter 8, verse 3. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" What do you, Jesus, say concerning this woman? The law says that she should die. And we, as ourselves, we are now ready to execute her. Look at what the Bible says about Satan, the mission of Satan, and the mission of Jesus. He said, "The thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." So if we look at the mission, the experience of this woman in the light of the mission of Satan, what was her lot at this point is execution. No hope of salvation. No hope of safety. No hope of deliverance. There is no hope of a second chance. And that is the mission of the devil. When you look at people who commit suicide, Satan tells them, "You cannot make it anymore. There's no hope for you. You better die." Satan's mission is to see people die and go to hell. Is to see people die and perish. If anybody is going to perish, if somebody is going to perish, Satan is glorified. Because that is the mission of Satan. But Jesus Christ, what gives him joy is for someone to be saved. That's why the Bible even said that there is joy in heaven if one sinner we get saved. Because it is the mission of Jesus for people to come to salvation. He came that they may have life. It is not his pleasure for one to die in sin. It is not the pleasure of Jesus for one to perish. So this woman, yes, was caught in adultery. The act of adultery was bad. The act of adultery was evil. It was said in Leviticus 20:10 and Deuteronomy 22:22, that such who commit adultery, a married woman who commits adultery, a married man who commits adultery, should be stoned to death. That's what is said in the laws. And now the Savior had come. And now Jesus had come as the Messiah. He had come as one to save the people from their sin. In the presence of the Messiah, should a sinner still perish in sin? That was the issue here. The people had seen that Jesus had appeared, had announced himself as the Messiah. But here the scribes and the Pharisees, they conspired. They carried the woman. If it is not conspiracy, why should they take her to Jesus? They arrested her. They knew the law. They were ready to execute her. Why do they carry her to Jesus? But their conspiracy failed. Hallelujah. Their conspiracy failed. Because God is God. He will accomplish his purpose in the lives of his people. I don't know how strong and mighty and powerful the powers that conspire against your salvation. They will fail in the name of Jesus. Even if you have put your hand into a society that is going to swallow your destiny, that is going to bring you to hellfire, take you to hell, with all the threat, every threat against your life, I stand here as a servant of God to say that God's supernatural power will locate you and bring you out of condemnation. And bring you out of destruction. And bring you out of damnation. There is hope for you. There is life in Christ Jesus. He will bring you from that destruction. And he will usher you into his life. He will rebrand your life. And you will shine for Jesus. Hallelujah. There was a young boy whose father sent to the university, the first son in the family. The boy joined secret court in university. And for 4 years, he couldn't bring anything out of the school. His own courts and the other courts were fighting. They were looking for each other to kill. He escaped from the school. And when the father got to know about it, the father got another admission for him in Enugu. Took this boy to Enugu again. The boy started school there. He joined a court there again. And then, after 3 years, he came back. He couldn't do anything. So the father said to him, "You have wasted 7 years, wasted resources, wasted everything. From today, I consider you as dead. I have nothing to do with you anymore. So you can live your life anyhow you want to live it. I don't have anything to do with you again." So the father left him and focused on the rest of the children. And this boy will wake up. Nobody asks him, "How are you? What are you doing? Where are you going?" He will go out. He will come back at any time he wants to come. If he doesn't come, nobody is asking whether he's still alive or dead. So he was just living like that. One day, I was in the office and he came. He came and greeted and said, "Please pray for me." I said, "What are we talking about? What are we praying about?" And he said, "I don't know how my life is going. I don't know the direction my life is going, whether I'm moving forward, I'm moving backward. In fact, the rest of the younger children are already going far in life. But he himself, his life was already stagnant." I said, "Please, I like praying with understanding. I don't like vague, you are a young man. So you tell me concrete situation about yourself. Let's pray well." You know, sometimes when you meet pastor, you just pay things and say, "Pastor, just pray it like that." If you know exactly how the situation is, and you open up a little bit, more direct prayers will be said. And God answers prayers. God answers prayers. And then he opened up. And he said, "My daddy sent me to Delta State University. I joined a court. And after 4 years, I dropped out. it took me again to Enugu. The same thing happened. Now my father's side doesn't have hand in my life and all of that. So I said, well, so what do you want now? What do you want now? He said, pray for me. Let my father give me a second chance. Another chance. I will make him proud. I said, all right. The only thing that can make you to succeed is for you to come to Jesus. Because the powers that are already operating in you, your powers you have given yourself to, are stronger than you. Even if you have remorse in your heart now, you don't like what is going on now, you say you want to go, the powers will still make you to misbehave. So the power of Jesus has to overrule those powers. And he said, I am ready. So I led him, the prayer of confessions, repentance, and then we enter into prayer of deliverance, and the Lord freed him. So I invited the father, and I told him, this is a brand new song that you have now. If any man is in Christ, he's a brand new person. Old things have passed away, everything has become new. So as a brand new son that God has given to you, send him back to school. The man wept. The man wept. Tears came down. And he said, Pastor, because of you, I will try again. And he did. I want to tell you, to the glory of God, that boy is the best child that man can boast of today. He's the best child. He's making up for the years that he wasted. In fact, the man came to show me, after some years, the man came to show me text message. The text messages that this boy sent. Oh, the text messages. You know, like I said before, those of us who have wandered in the world, as God brings us to salvation, we cherish God more than those of you who were born in church. Hallelujah. Ah! The wonders of God, the power of God to deliver. So God can overrule all conspiracies. I tell that story to let certain people, if you have put yourself under certain powers and they tell you you cannot go free. Some of you, the kind of community you come from, they said you are the one to worship a demon. You are the one to serve the community deity. Or you are the one to replace your father to worship what kind of shrine? All of those powers that have been positioned around you that will deprive you from enjoying the saving power of God. I say those conspiracies will fail in the name of Jesus. God will overrule them. You yourself, you are created in the image of God. You yourself, you are entitled to be saved by the Lord. God created you. God knows you. Your life does not depend on any other power. Your life depends on God. As you release yourself to Him, you will experience His salvation. The second thing that is so clear here in this passage was that God's supernatural power brings salvation to us, to affirm that Jesus is our Savior. To affirm that Jesus is our Savior. There is one fact that the devil did not want the world to know. That Jesus is the Savior of the world. That Jesus is the Savior of mankind. He came to save us from our sin. When the angel appeared to Mary, said the name of that child is going to be called Jesus, because He's going to save the people from their sin. is coming to save the people from their sin. So look at John chapter 8 from verse 6. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. They arrested this woman caught in adultery. Although this oppression of women in several cultures, when the woman committed adultery, she committed it with somebody. I mean, they did not bring the man. The Old Testament law, when I read it from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22, it said, a married man that sleep with another woman should be, they should stone the man to death. Now, this woman was caught in adultery with a man, but that man was not brought. So, not be today that they oppress women. God will deliver all the women in the house from every oppression in the mighty name of Jesus. So they brought the woman to Jesus. The question I ask is, why did they bring the woman to Jesus? Why do they bring the woman to Jesus? They made up their minds on what to do. They have quoted the laws. I believe that some were even already gathering their stones to stone the woman, to kill the woman, to execute the woman, that she may die and perish in her sin. But why do they bring this woman to Jesus? The scripture says they brought the woman and said what they said to test Jesus. What were they testing? He needed to prove if truly he was the Messiah. He needed to prove if he was the Savior of the world. Because they want to discredit his claim to be the Messiah. They want to discredit his claim to be the Savior of the world. They want to have a basis to tell people, please don't listen to him. He's not the Savior. Don't listen to him. This is not the Messiah we are expecting. So when they asked Jesus, what they were expecting Jesus to say was that, yes, you have quoted the laws and you have quoted rightly. So according to the laws, go ahead and execute the woman. They would be glad. Taking the woman away to execute her. But after executing her, they would come around and say, we told you people, the Messiah we are expecting is going to save the people from their sin. When the Messiah comes, nobody is going to perish in his or her sin in the presence of the Messiah. By his authority as the Messiah, he's going to save the sinners. So we are still waiting for the Messiah. This one is not the Messiah. That's what they were looking for. To discredit Jesus. But if Jesus now even told them, yes, I am the Messiah. I have come to save the people from their sin. This woman has been caught in sin. That's the reason why I have come. It's just like sick people who go to hospital. The medical people, what makes them relevant is to attend to sick people. So Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he came to save sinners. His relevance is in saving sinners. So don't kill this woman, I've come to save her. And then the people will go around and say that Jesus Christ had come to break the laws. The Pharisees were specialists holding onto the law without upholding the spirit of the laws. But they don't know that Jesus Christ is God in himself. That you cannot corner him. You cannot corner Jesus. Oh, each time I read Gospel of John chapter 1, he said the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. that through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that is made has been made. So if man thinks that he's wise, if you think that you are skillful, if you think that you have what kind of knowledge or power, or you know something, there is no way you can stand with Jesus Christ with that kind of wisdom that you have. You cannot outsmart him. You can corner him. Just look at the way he dealt with this situation. He did not tell them, I am the Messiah, I come to save her, don't kill her. He did not tell them, oh, the law have said it, so go take her away to go and execute. But he put it in another way. Yes, the law says adulterer should be executed. But I tell you, all of you who have conspired against this woman to execute her, you examine yourself. Any of you that have not sinned, you don't have any sin in you. You are so pure. You are without any sin. Be the first to raise your stone against this woman. That statement of Jesus was actually to let the people know that every one of them were in need of the Savior. Hallelujah. He knows everybody. What Jesus Christ is saying to them, that all of you, you see the Messiah has come to save the people from their sin. I am here on a mission to bring salvation to humanity. Every one of you, you are in need of a Savior. Every one of you should be concerned about your own personal need for a Savior. You need salvation. You are preoccupied with the situation of another person. Whereas you yourself, you need to search your own heart. You need to hunger for opportunity to be liberated. The Savior is here to save. An opportunity that you should not toy with. This is an opportunity for you. And so he said, any of you who have not sinned, cast your stone. And scripture says he bent down and he was writing. But the Bible did not tell us what he was writing. But biblical scholars guess that he was writing the names of the people one by one. That is just an idea of some people. That he knew all the people. He knew their situations. He knew those who are witches, those who are robbers, those who are thieves, those who are also adulterers like that woman, but were not caught. And he was writing them. You, Mr. Kukbuyeke, do you know that you too, you are an adulterer? The other day you were. Is it because you were not caught that you are not qualified to execute the one that has been caught? What about you, Mr. Kokodia, who also took what does not belong to you? You are a thief. Are you not also to be killed? And the Bible says, one by one, they were convicted by their conscience. And they left one by one. But as I reflect on this, I said to myself, just like Jesus told the Samaritan woman, if you know the one that is standing with you, if you know the one, you know, Christians miss opportunities. There are times when God himself, he said to do some spectacular things, change situations, and those who are sensitive in the spirit, they are able to key in and the miraculous happen. But there are people who are just there. They are not sensitive in the spirit. They are not sensitive to the move of God. They are not sensitive to what God is doing. And so they are not able to key into it. If they were sensitive enough, having been convicted of their own sin, it was not for them to disappear. It was not for them to leave. It was actually for them to break out, cry for their own salvation. That was an opportunity for them to experience the saving power of God through Jesus. But they missed it. I don't know how many of them will have that opportunity again. It was a great opportunity. I say to you, people of God, whenever the Lord speaks to you and you have an encounter, please don't postpone your decision. Don't postpone your action. There are certain meetings that God will just assemble because of you to encounter you. I was invited by a church for an open air crusade. While I was preaching, you just, as you are led by the Lord, you speak. But there was a woman in that vicinity. The woman was hearing in her house. And she said that a voice was telling her that all your cry of many years, this night is your night. Where they are preaching there, go there. All your cry of many years is ending this night. She was the one who said it later, but she refused to come. The woman was in that vicinity of that crusade. We closed from the crusade, prayed for people, and we left. I was in church one Sunday. As I stand on the pulpit, the woman was entering the church. At the main entrance, as people were entering the church, the Holy Spirit said to me, that woman should walk straight to the altar. I didn't know her. So I said, yes, that woman that is coming in, ushers, bring her to the altar. The woman came, knelt before the altar. I prayed for her. She went to sit down. When we closed from church, the woman requested to talk with me. And she said, I came from a so-so place. I came from Gberikoko. There was a time you came to preach there in an open air crusade. I said, yes, I came to that area. That day, I'm a woman who have been praying to God, asking God to intervene in my life and all of that. That day, as we were preaching, I was hearing a voice telling me that all that I've been asking for, that night it will be done. I should come out, but I refused to come. And that after that crusade, I had no peace. Each time I pray to God, the voice will tell me, you have missed it. So she went to the church, the Baptist church in that area that organized that crusade and said, the time you people had crusade here, somebody preach here. Where did the person come from? It was from there they described my own church and that she came. I said, well, may the God of second chance have mercy on you. But I want to tell you, when the water is being stirred by the Spirit, you have to release yourself. Don't hold yourself back or you deny yourself of the miraculous that God wants to perform in your life. So these individuals, they miss it. Instead of surrendering themselves, they disappeared one by one. But the good news is that Jesus Christ affirmed himself as a savior to this woman. Hallelujah. After the people who were to execute her, they disappeared one by one. Jesus Christ looked around and said to the woman, where are they that accuse you? Where are they that were ready to send you to your grave? Where are they that consider you unfit for salvation? Where are they? And the woman said, they have all gone. They have all gone. And Jesus said, if they have not executed you, I will not execute you. That was a clear affirmation that yes, I am the Messiah. For this purpose, I have come. For this reason, I have come. Jesus Christ is your Savior. If there is anybody that should know about your sinful condition, it's Jesus Christ. If you can hide your sinful situation to anybody, not to Jesus. Because if Jesus Christ knows about your sinful situation, it is for Him to clean you up. He will clean you up. For the devil, we want you to be executed so that you can go to hell quick. But for Jesus, He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you. So when you come before Jesus, expose yourself to Him. Open up to Him. Because by so doing, you will experience His cleansing. You will experience salvation. The last point before we begin to pray. God's supernatural power brings salvation to us with the conferment of a new spiritual status. It brings salvation to us with the conferment of a new spiritual status. What Jesus does when He brings salvation to you is to confer on you a brand new spiritual status. And that's what He did to that woman in John chapter 8, verse 12. In verse 10, He said to the woman, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Those words of Jesus to this woman were not ordinary words. Those words of Jesus to that woman were not just to say, "You are free from this physical execution." But they are words that go deeper into the realm of the spirit to confer on that woman a brand new status in life. And that is what matters most in human existence. For you to be brought out of dominion, out of the control and dominion of sin and Satan, to be conferred with the status of a child of God. So when it happens, you yourself, you will know in your spirit. The Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of who? Of God. With all the rights and privileges that are tied to those who are children of God. I saw that also happened in the life of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was known to be a wealthy man, but he did some things, manipulating, collecting tax above what he should collect. He did all kinds of things to be rich. You know, one of the problems we have in Nigeria today is our value system. I believe that money is good. Money is good. But there is a way you venerate money to the extent that it becomes negative. Where you think that money is everything. So because of money, a whole big man can tell lie in the front of his own son. Because of money, you can say something that is recorded, videoed. And then you get to the back of the house and say, "I never said it." When they even play the video, you say it was a photo shoot. Or it's a fake news. The Lord will deliver us. Money, if you don't have money in the right way, the money becomes a problem. Money itself can be a problem. Money itself can remove peace from somebody's life. That's why the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It does not add sorrow. It does not add sorrow. There are many people you think that they are rich, but they are not happy. They are not fulfilled. It's only in God that that blessing can become blessing. So Zacchaeus himself was in that situation. He had no peace. He had the money, but he had no peace. No fulfillment in him. The money could not buy him inner peace, inner fulfillment that only God himself can give. When he had the opportunity, he did not miss it. That's one thing I love him. He had the opportunity that Jesus Christ was in town. He was going through Jericho. So, if he put his status aside and he was running like a small boy. He was running like small boy because he needed to have a encounter with Jesus. And he was climbing a sycamore tree. When it comes to the matters of salvation, you must put your status, your degrees, your titles, you must put them in the corner. If you hold so much tight to status and all that, you will not enjoy God, because when you are supposed to respond to God personally, you want everybody to finish the service, we close and we go. Then after the service, you go, "Pastor, please, can you come to my house tomorrow?" That message that was prayed the other time, I think I need to make some decisions. Zacchaeus himself, he ran. I need to meet this Jesus. I need to encounter him. It's not a matter of status now. And when Jesus got there, Jesus Christ sees the yearnings of our hearts. Jesus stood and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I must stay in your house today." That's the greatest miracle that should happen to a man, for Jesus to enter into your heart. And Jesus Christ was ushered to the home of Zacchaeus. Immediately, the light of God shone in the house. Darkness of greed and materialism disappeared. And then Zacchaeus began to see life from a God's dimension. And he began to see life from a different perspective. And nobody told him, compelled him to refund what he stole from people. He was telling Jesus, "I have been a thief. I have stolen. I'm going to refund to those I have collected excess from. I am going to pay compensation. I'm going to refund, because what has happened today is all enough for me." And Jesus Christ, the point of confirmment of a new status. That is the point. Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Oh, I pray that every one of us, we will serve God to that point where we will have that personal confirmment, where the Lord himself will confirm on us, where the Lord himself will look at you and say, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. This is my child." At that point, there is nothing that the devil can do about your life anymore. Hallelujah. No matter how you have messed up before. No matter how you have messed up before. There is no longer any accusation that can stand against you. There is no voice that can speak against you. There is no power that can lay claim to your life. Because Jesus Christ himself is putting his mark upon you by that pronouncement, conferring upon you a brand new spiritual status. That is my prayer today. That as we go into to prayer, you will open up your heart, you will open up yourself to embrace the love of God. God loves us so much. When you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, what you see is the revelation of God's love. How much God loves us. How much love that God has for us. He loves us so much. It is not his will for anyone to perish. When he sent Jonah to Nineveh, he did not send Jonah to go and preach. He didn't tell Jonah, go and tell the people of Nineveh to repent, or they will perish. He didn't tell, go and preach. He told them to go and announce his judgment. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. It was an announcement of judgment. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah was unwilling to go because Jonah understood the love of God. It was the wish of Jonah for Nineveh to be destroyed. You know, when you see people that are very wicked, if a wish I've confessed in your family before that all your suffering of 20 years is the one responsible, is the reason why you were sacked from work, that very good job you have been doing, the wish says is the one. That your brother that was helping you who died in accident is the one that came. You don't even want God to forgive that wish. That was the kind of thing Jonah was looking for. Let God just bring the fire and wipe them away, as he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. But God said, this time around, go and tell them in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Unwilling to go, he was running, and God caught up with him. When the fish swallowed him, he went to vomit him. Right there, go. You must do this. You can't run away. I am God. I own everything. If I send you, you don't struggle. That's why some of us are pastors. Some of us struggled. But thank God. And Jonah just announced. He did not stand in one place to preach so that the people can repent. He just went through the city. He will make one statement. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. That was just all. And then after he had announced, he was waiting to see how God was going to wipe. That's what he was expecting. But to his amazement, the king repented. He pulled down his garment of regalia and he put on sackcloth and announced, oh, we are doomed. Even though we are not asked to repent or whether there's a second chance, but let us just repent because we don't have any choice now. And then when God looked at the level of repentance and change of heart, God showed mercy unto them. That's the love of God. And you know that Jonah was angry. I know you. I know you very well. That's why I didn't want to go, because I know that if I only the announcement of the destroyer, you will not destroy them. I know that even if it is just few people, you will not destroy them. I had wanted you to destroy them. And look at what God did to show to Jonah that you need to develop love in your heart. God caused a tree to grow up to give him shade. He was just enjoying it. Then, while he was enjoying it, the tree was cooling him down. God took away the tree again. The tree withered. Hey, Jonah said, I could not die. It's better to die. He said, look at the tree. You did not plant it, though. You are not the one that planted it. I planted it. It gave you comfort. You were enjoying it. And you, because the tree withered, you say you want to kill yourself now. Then, these are the people that I created. You just want me to wipe them away. That is how much the love of God. The love of God searching for us. What he's looking for is that we should come to him. No matter how far you have gone away from him. As you come to him, oh, he's waiting to receive you back. He wants to call us to relationship with him. He wants to enjoy us as his children. So that we can also enjoy him as our father. He's a loving and caring father. Oh, I pray that nobody will ignore his invitation. Nobody will run away from him. But that every one of us will come to him. That every one of us will come to repentance and experience his salvation.